Keith, a number of years ago, you were doing Eating in the Night.
Dining in the Dark.
Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. And you said to me, you described, you take sighted people.
Right.
And bring them in so we can experience what you experienced.
Put a blindfold example. On them and have them eat a great dinner.
Do you want to expand upon that?
That was it.
That's all there is to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we did.
But you had a speaker.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about that? can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know where I'm headed at all, or are you just trying
to make sure.
Are you intimidated because your wife is here?
That's right. She's watching me.
I've seen you act differently since she came in the room than when it's just me.
Well, I don't hold your hand, that's for sure.
We try, but you keep yours out of the way.
Yes, Christine McDonald is the young lady sitting across from me and to your right, and she was our guest speaker from the Kansas City area. I met her through my son-in-law, David Stoker, that's into all things about recovery and mental health and what have you, and he told me about a young lady that had a background that was unbelievable, and she was blind. So we had a common situation there as far as our sight is concerned, and he thought she'd be a great speaker, and she was
at our Dining
in the Dark, and she still is, and she speaks all over, and we're going to meet her this morning.
Let's go.
She was, there was a producer of a documentary that Kathy and I went to Kansas City some time ago to see at a church, and we did. And she was going to be here this morning, Anita, but she told me last night about 10:30 or whatever that she was unable to be here. But Christine is here, and we welcome Christine C. McDonald. Good morning, Christine.
Well, good morning, Keith. It's great to be here and with the whole team.
Hey, you got everybody. So, yeah, that's
good
awesome.
Good morning, Ozarks.
There you go. That we met, what, two, maybe 3 years ago.
Maybe 3 years ago.
And you did a wonderful job. So I want to start back with what your story is. And there is a documentary, the part of the Branson International Film Festival. It will be at the Meadows Theater this morning in Theater 10, Deborah told me, at 10:02. And it is called I Will Rise.
Yes.
It tells your story. So I don't want to give everything about the documentary away, but I would like you to capsulize for us your story and what the documentary is about.
Well, the documentary was directed and produced by Anita Cordell, who is also an actress. So she's been in several amazing films.
She was in Running the Bases.
She played Mama D in Running the Bases.
You
it was great.
Remember Mama D in Running the Bases, Mr. Ingram?
I have to because you just asked me in on the spot in front
of
everybody.
That's right.
Yeah, yes.
I get to put him on the spot.
I remember.
So anyway, Anita produced it.
And she also was in a Don't Say My Name, another film about trafficking. And she played the therapist, Dr. Weir. So she's very talented. So the documentary itself has my story and my work and my ministry layered along other experts in the anti-trafficking field, covering various lanes. I myself am a survivor of human trafficking. I was sold for $2,500 at 15 as a runaway. I was a vulnerable youth that had been in and out of the foster care system and the juvenile justice system, fatherless home, didn't know who my father was, much less, you know, have a father present in my life. And there was a lot of messy things, sexual abuse, you know, neglect, just emotional abuse, just things like that. So that all of those vulnerabilities, because we know trafficking is the exploitation of vulnerabilities in its core of essence, led me into being a homeless runaway youth because, well, the system failed me and didn't protect me. And I thought at 15, I'm better off with my own, you know, best thinking. And I was approached by a gentleman that actually groomed me, befriended me, and eventually sold me for $2,500 to a man that owned a string of adult entertainment gentlemen clubs in Oklahoma and Kansas. So I sold for $2,500 to the gentleman that owned these places that would then in turn sell me in the back rooms until I was 17 when I just wasn't bringing in the money that, you know, you would do. And I was escorted off the property at gunpoint, had no idea even what town I was in, hadn't made a decision, I had lots of trauma. And then just in a hot second, I was a gentleman picked me up and said, hey, you don't belong here. You're not safe. Let me take care of you. And he was a trafficker. And for the next 17 years, I was bought and sold in Kansas City, Missouri. And so that all led up to me, my freedom date, which I almost took a life. And I knew that I didn't want to be the same evil I had experienced. And so that the fear of my trafficker killing me no longer outweighed my fear of what lies outside, you know, of the experience.
I need to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to look at years for just a second.
Oh, yes.
So at 15, right?
Yes.
And then how many years before you were when the other guy, when you stepped out, another guy got you?
Oh no, there were no years. It was days. So I
no,
was.
No, I meant I'm. Because
you said when you were 17.
So oh, so for 2 years in the gentleman clubs, in the back rooms, and then literally within days of my. Of being escorted off the property
right.
at gunpoint, I was picked up, and then the next 17 years.
So middle 30s is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Oh, able, late 30s. Yeah, yes. Because yeah. I'm not young.
So, my
point is, I tried to put the pieces together here.
I understand.
This is not like a guy said, I bought a piece of real estate in a couple of days it was gone. This is going on and
yeah,
on
continue.
And on. This abuse. And being done like, oh my goodness, it's
17 years.
Well, 21 altogether if you include the 2 years as a minor and then 17 years in Missouri. So 19 years of my life.
And I remember that testimony. You were in that situation in a car, if I'm correct,
mm-hmm.
and he had a gun.
We were actually outside. He had pulled me out of the car and yes, and had beaten me and assaulted me for many, many hours. Yes.
And then you saw the gun or you had.
I when he had me get on my knees and beg for my life, I believed in that moment because the corner he'd picked me up on was a church.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about God. And I had literally, like, I saw so many of my friends be murdered and nobody cared and they never came back and nobody looked for them. And I had sat on those church steps and said, if there's a God, whatever that looks like, let death find me, because I believe that death was the only way people like me ever found freedom. And this guy picked me up, and after the assault that lasted for many, many hours, and he had the gun, and I was nodding in and out of consciousness. He had balanced me on my knees, and he held the gun to my head and said, give me a reason to let you live.
Mm.
And I surrendered all in that moment, believing that this God that I did not yet know had heard my prayers and my mercy was finally being granted and all of my pain was going to be over and nobody was ever going to hurt me again and nobody was ever going to pay for me again. But the gentleman thrived on the fear, which I didn't have because I was completely in surrender waiting for him to pull the trigger and for my pain to end. And when I wasn't scared, this made him very angry. And he was going to violate me all over again. And in that moment, I was so overcome with rage. And I had finally prayed to God. I had finally asked, you know, and had that courage. And I felt so betrayed. And I was so angry for every person that had hurt me and every one of my friends that had died and nobody cared. And I was overcome with rage and hate and anger in that moment. And I had a chance to get the gun. And that's when I pointed the gun at him and told him to get on his knees and give me a reason to let him live. That's when the tides turn. And in that moment when he cried, he was on his knees begging for his life. I intended to murder that man that day. And God definitely interceded and gave me the strength to not take his life. So I emptied the gun into the ground. I pulled the trigger and I emptied the rest of the bullets onto the ground and I threw it. And I knew that I had the capacity to kill. And I knew I didn't want to be a monster. And I knew once that was unleashed, there would be no going back. And I didn't want to hurt people like people had hurt me. And that was my freedom day. That was the day I never looked back.
So after that, you are out of trafficking,
yes,
kind
yes,
of concerned
yes.
that they may come
yes,
after
yes.
you for a while?
I think at that time I didn't care. I think at that time I just didn't care. If they found me, so be it. I didn't want that monster unleashed, and the fear of that was so outweighed the fear of them finding me and killing me.
Well, they didn't find you, but
they
you
did
found
not.
God.
How
did you find him?
Oh, my gosh. So I started my pathway out, which was really hard. People didn't know how to serve somebody with so much trauma like mine, right?
Oh, hey, look.
Yes.
I can imagine.
That's a hot mess. Just saying.
When you close the door and nobody's around, you go, really? really? And if you've talked to a couple like my wife and I, we shut the door and go, really? You got to get your arms around this.
Yeah, no, I
and
mean.
And the trauma.
Oh, yeah. And that's a whole nother beast.
You know, so keep going. This is great.
Yes. So about, I'm clean, you know, because I was addicted to drugs. Great way, means of control, but it's also helped you cope with the trauma. I'm clean. I'm off drugs. I finally get a job.
How did you get off drugs? Was there a treatment program?
Well, I tried to go to treatment, but they wouldn't take me.
Okay.
They didn't know how to, I mean, it just, you know. So I did end up getting into a 12-step program, which eventually led me into Celebrate Recovery. I'm a CR girl. I love Celebrate Recovery.
Stan just mentioned that CR was his path.
Oh, my gosh.
Todd Rabideau, I hope you're listening.
Yep. Oh, I love Celebrate Recovery. Harms of Exploitation Initiative, great thing. I was blessed before John Baker passed to sit with him and his wife as we were putting up that initiative with Celebrate Recovery. So I became a Celebrate Recovery girl, which kind of started planting the seeds of faith. But about 3 years into, you know, my exit, I had met a guy, was in a relationship, and I got pregnant, and there were some complications.
Oh, and he loves you and going to stay with you forever?
I don't know about that. I don't know that we were like that, but I don't think I was healthy enough to understand what love meant yet.
Sure.
We were dating, and I got pregnant. And
now you're working at McDonald's.
I was working at McDonald's. I was.
Hey.
A McDonald's working at McDonald's.
We had a situation at McDonald's the other day. It's Charlie and I were going through there, and we waited, I don't know, 10 minutes or 15.
Long time.
Yeah. And he goes up to the window and says to the lady, is there a problem? And she said, what problem? Well, we
didn't
determine.
And I said, that's the problem.
Christine, your life changes at this point.
It
does. And I'm going to take a quick break, and folks are going to stay with us because her life changes in a way that was very unexpected.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Keith, I think I have missed something as you go back to our interview with Christine, because I know the Indian tradition, sometimes they take the name of something else. So did Christine get named after where she worked?
I don't know. I think she brought her name to the place.
Okay.
But she only has one. She's not McDonald's.
Oh, gotcha.
She's McDonald's.
I got you.
Yeah.
So just a little.
Like the tie end of those golden arches, wouldn't you, financially?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so if you missed the first part of Christine's testimony here, she was in trafficking for about 19 years or so, and now gets out of that through a unbelievable answer to prayer. You know, God doesn't always answer prayer the way we expect him to, does he? So you're working at McDonald's.
Just a minute. I want to interject something.
Okay.
You said something a while ago that I think is so important, because I'm telling you, if you had shot that man,
your life would not be
the same.
No, it wouldn't.
Because in our system, as compassionate and as everybody wants to be, there's going to be somebody saying, she murdered him.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I in that moment, not wanting to be the same evil was not only choosing my life, but it was choosing his life. I mean, and I think when we redefine choosing life, what that looks like, right? And you're right. I would have went to prison because of my past for the rest of my life. And because he was a prominent person, established business owner, had a family, yeah, you're right. You're right.
In the first half hour, we had a lady from Denver, Colorado, Roger from First Liberty, talking about a lawsuit that's been filed against Colorado for preventing her from talking to ladies in front of an abortion clinic. Now, let's pick up your story. You're at McDonald's. You find yourself pregnant.
I do.
And there becomes an eye issue. Would you walk me through that?
There does, yes. So I'm having these headaches. I'm having some problems. I go to the hospital with horrible headaches. They admit me, trying to control the pain, right? I have some Native American. I'm an 8th Chickasaw, registered on the rolls.
Perfect.
But I look very Caucasian because I was actually born, I have albino characteristics. I'm super, super white. So I don't look very Indian except for some of my bone structures, but I'm actually registered on the rolls.
Dad, my dad would say she's got the high
cheekbone. I do. And so what happened is we didn't know at the time, but I had something that I was genetically predispositioned to because of my native heritage. And so I'm in the hospital. I've got these horrible headaches. I'm in my second trimester. And the doctor, I've got this raging inflammation in my – it's affecting my eardrums. It's affecting my eyes. It's affecting my whole nervous system. It's literally attacking every organ in my body. And so the doctor comes to me and says, this is what can happen. We can treat all this. We can treat the symptoms. But in doing so, you're going to lose your baby. And I was only in my second trimester, so the baby wouldn't have been able to survive, right? It would have been a viable birth. And so I was given a choice. In 3 days from this raging inflammation, I was completely blind. And I was given a choice, the life of my unborn child, and they would have been able to potentially save my eyesight or my eyesight, and I would lose my child.
You know what? I try to summarize your story to different people. And when I tell your story, I say something like this. She chose life.
I did.
Over vision.
I did.
Now, somebody can say, how do you make that decision?
You know, it's funny because I was still not yet, I hadn't yet been saved. God had been pursuing me, definitely. And as I look back, of course, I see all these places in that journey from the time of that incident when I almost murdered that man. But my son's father said, we can have another child, but I can't have another you. And I said, well, I'm not going to die. He said, but you'll be blind. I said, so you don't want a defective me. And I said, I mean, innately, in my heart and soul, I knew I just couldn't make that choice. And so I waited until the birth of my child. And when he was 5 weeks old, I went back to the hospital. As soon as he was born, they administered the medicine, and it was too late. And so when he was 5 weeks old, he goes to daycare for the first day, and I literally go straight to the hospital to have my eyes medically removed. So I'm not only blind, like I have had both of my eyes completely medically removed, so I have two prosthetic eyes. And that actually changed everything for me. It catapulted me into my faith, and that's where my true faith really began, understanding the conceptualization of, walking, you know, in faith, you know, allowing God to lead us, trusting people, understanding the body of Christ and becoming interdependent of the body of Christ. And so that moment, you know, would very quickly become the catalyst of my faith.
Now, also then you have a deep relationship with Jesus today, and it came out of that starting
yes.
that road. But you also got some schooling that you didn't
I
have,
did.
You got a master's degree.
I did.
Bring me up to date. What's going on with Christine now? And this all covered in the documentary that people can go see, by the way, this morning over at the Meadows at 10 o'clock as part of the Branson International Film Festival.
Yes, absolutely. So I got my GED. I went to college. I wanted to go to law school, but I was denied because I have a felony. So I ended up going to seminary.
Hang on a minute. You're blind.
Yeah.
And you, how in the world is this happening?
Well, I was illiterate. I had been to 21 different schools. I was in a foster care. When you're worried about being safe, you're not worried about learning in school. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so after I lost my sight, that really, when I had to learn how to be blind, I had to learn how to use technology. They put me in Braille class. I didn't do so good. I actually got kicked out. That's a story for another show. And so they started teaching me how to use a adaptive technology, mm-hmm. talking typer software, JAWS. JAWS, that's was a speech, which is adaptive technology for visually impaired people.
Which I use on my computer.
And that's how I actually, as I was typing, it was speaking out the letters. So I was learning how to type. I was learning how to read. And then I went on and got a GED, went to college. When I got denied law school at UMKC because of my felony past, I got the opportunity to go to seminary. And I was like, well, I'll just do that. I penned two books, one, A Narrative of My Life, Cry Purple, another one, Same Kind of Human, Seeing the Marginalized and Exploited Through Eyes of Grace, which is written for the church to equip them I mean, we can learn a lot through scripture. I mean, Jesus taught us a lot if we just look. But about how do we connect and reach to, and are we called to love in action the vulnerable all around us? You know, I've got a couple credentials. I've been doing ministry and equipping organizations to serve vulnerable people for about 17 years now. And I work on policy too, so it's a trifecta. We can do one person at a time, right? That builds hope, because hope deferred is it will make a soul sick, and hope fulfilled is like a tree of life. So that's very important. But we also have to know how to serve people. So that's kind of the middle ground. And then policy. We have to change the policy. We have to address the demand. We have to address the systems that keep people in poverty so they're not vulnerable. So these three things are very, very vital, and they all work together. And those are the things that I do and equip people to do with my ministry at ChristineSpeaksMinistry.com.
And I was going to ask you the website, and that's certainly one. And that's the best one to follow what you do.
Yes.
About the books. Give me the title
Find
of the books.
Find me on Facebook.
Cry Purple is one.
Yes.
There's a great story there. And the other book is?
Same Kind of Human, Seeing the Marginalized and Exploited Through Eyes of Grace,
Kathy,
which was specifically written for the church.
I just wanted to get you to tell quickly about the story where you were part of a ministry and they wanted to take you into a Spanish neighborhood.
Oh my gosh. Right after I got baptized at the church that I ended up getting saved at and then started my faith journey, I got baptized. I come out of the baptismal water and I'm like, can I join the outreach now? And they're like, well, it's not like some secret society. You didn't have to get baptized to join the outreach. So I go down to my first outreach meeting and they are going to minister to the Hispanic community, which they were surrounded in. But the church where I got baptized in was one block from the corner I was bought and sold at for all of those years.
Oh,
and,
my.
So I go down here for my very first, I'm so excited, we're going to go talk about Jesus, because you know how it is. You're a baby Christian, you're on fire for the Lord, you want to go tell everybody.
And if you have noticed by now, Christine is very passionate.
Yes, I was very passionate. I was like, what? We're going to do what? I don't speak Spanish. Is somebody going to help us? Like, how does this work? And everybody gets really quiet and come to find out nobody spoke Spanish. So I said, well, I'm not super smart. Don't know a whole lot about a lot, but I feel like Houston, we have a problem. I said, so have y'all ever thought about, you know, they did not know my story. It was probably 2.5 years of me being a member of that church before I shared where I came from. And I said, have you ever thought about us taking sandwiches and hygiene's out here? To the prostitutes and the addicts and the homeless that are right outside your church. And the director of ministry and mission said, what would we say to those people? And I said, well, I don't know. How about, hello, are you hungry? They at least speak English.
Right.
And that's what started my ministry, which I've been doing for, gosh, and teaching
I
and equipping communities to do all across the country for the last 17 years.
So like Stan said in that last half hour, is you just love people.
Yes.
And they may be different. They may be doing something that you don't do and whatever, but love them.
Love them.
And that's what the Brookwood Wellness Center is about and other places as well.
That's
so give me the
about.
Website once again where folks can find out about your books, find out about your ministry, and you are an active, very active young lady.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook at Christine C. McDonald, Instagram, and YouTube, Christine C. McDonald or Christine Speaks Ministry. You can find me on YouTube, Christine Speaks Ministry. Got lots of helpful little videos there. And my website's ChristineSpeaksMinistry.com. I would love to come to your community, to your church, share my testimony, share hope, or equip you to, like, really, what are the vulnerable people in your community right there so we can do what we can with what we have right where we're planted.
Let me say something. I've said it to Keith 100 times.
Is it gonna be nice?
He's yes, he's very nice. I won't. I say that
he
stuff for off your
hair.
Yeah. He sees better than any blind man I've ever met. It seems to me that in your situation, you have the same thing, that you can see because you did see, but you see with your heart.
Vision without sight. I think it's really interesting. A lot of people is like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm teaching the sighted people how to see the very vulnerable people right in front of them. And I think that's a spiritual thing, right? Because we are literally guided by our faith, allowing Christ to light our path, right? And doing exactly what we're called to do, because we have to trust our faith in everything that we do.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you're sitting in a group and somebody looks at you and says, you have no idea what I've gone through.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is he really? Yeah. Oh, I was trafficked when I was whatever. Well, really, so was I. What?
I don't hear that very often. Yeah.
Hey, this has been a great time.
Hey, Keith. Thank you, Christine. You can see Thanks her. So she'll be over today at the I Will Rise documentary, 10 o'clock over at the Meadows this morning as part of the Branson International Film Festival. And that will be going on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. It's up for several awards. The award ceremony is going to be on Sunday. You can go back to our Wednesday Good Morning Ozarks. Deborah Watson was here and talking about the film festival. And so thank you, Christine, for being in town. Thank you for being our friend. And thank you for being at the round table.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you.